Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we hear your word this afternoon. We pray that you'll open our hearts afresh to it, Lord. We may have heard it many times, but I pray it may come new today, Lord, to inspire us in our walk with you day by day. Lord, help us to learn from you. Help us to lay aside our own bright ideas and whatnot, but to concentrate on you, the living God. So be in this reading of the scripture. Bring it to life for each and every one of us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing our rumble through the Old Testament. So if your Bible's with you, if you'd like to turn to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20. Always find it an easy book to find because I'm just after Kings, doesn't it? It's very easy to relate. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 13, says this. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, and a descendant of Asaph. It's a mouthful, that, isn't it? Do you know, I used to just put the first letter of each name because I thought I wouldn't get it wrong then, but I try. He said this, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's." We've just been singing that, haven't we? Battle belongs to the Lord. "Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up by the pass of Ziz. And you'll find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you'll be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Zaar, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. It's quite a reading, that. There's a lot there for us to learn, I think. So in those opening verses of 2 Chronicles, we see those three tribes, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Moabites, coming to make war on Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat stood in front of all the people in the temple and prayed to God, asking God to intercede. And he prayed this, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." I think it's wonderful that humility the king has then to admit where he stands and how he feels. We have no power to face this vast army. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And his prayer was answered. Never was an army going out into battle set up as was Jehoshaphat's. I don't know if you can imagine it today. In any country of the world, you ought to think. An army going into battle, but they're not actually waving their swords or anything else. They're going out singing and praising God. Can you imagine it? I don't know if any battle since then that's ever happened before, but what faith, when you're facing a vast army being grossly outnumbered, to stand and send singers out into the front row, as it were, and tell them to praise God. He had soldiers ready for war, but here we find no account of their swords or their bows and arrows or swords, spears, shields, or anything else. Nothing is mentioned. But Jehoshaphat led them out with faith as the armor. And again, this is picked up in Ephesians, where we say that faith, that armor, deflects all the arrows of the evil one. That's going forward in faith. If he just stood there waiting for them to come upon him, I don't think they'd have won the battle. I'm sure they would have lost. But they had faith to go out and to face the enemy, praising God. And I think that's a real message for us today as Christians. When we face troubles, make sure we're actually going out with the Lord. Make sure we're going out facing the enemy, but with the praise of God in our hearts and our minds and our imaginations. As they went out, instead of telling them how to fight, what sort of patterns to go out into, he told them simply to believe in the Lord. Again, what a verse for us today when we come against troubles and tribulations. Dennis mentioned some that Callum's had, for example, and others here have been through really hard times recently. But looking to the Lord, the victory has been won. Praise God. But what a lesson for all of us to remember and to learn and to go on learning. He told them to listen to what the prophets had said, that they should prosper and be established. He told them to give praise and thanksgiving as they went. That was what was going to go out in front of the army. Look again how he prepared them for that battle. He appointed singers to go out ahead of the army. Now, humanly speaking, I don't know about you, but if I think I was him, I think that's probably the last thing I'd do if I got faith in Christ to do something about it. Can you imagine it today? Can you imagine the Second World War, for example? Instead of all the tanks, you said a choir in the front singing praises to God. Tremendous faith that man had. What a way to start a battle. What faith. I can't see any modern leader of today, or yesterday in fact, doing such a thing, having such a faith in God. No thunder, no hail, no angel swords. The Lord set ambushes for the enemy. I know many theologians have said this, that they thought the Lord caused confusion to come amongst the enemy there. They got so confused they started killing one another. And if you remember, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Gideon, do you remember? They actually had their lights in these clay jars. When they broke the jars and praised God, the victory was won. The enemy fled. I think this is such a simple lesson, but I think it's one we find very hard to get hold of. Because in our humanity, we tend to think that we can do it in our own strength. If we worry enough, or if we grumble enough, or if we go and have a few words with the pastor or whatever, everything's going to happen. They worshipped God. And when they did that, God perfected his work of deliverance. And he'll do the same for you and for me if we keep our eyes upon him and him alone, not try to do things in our own strength. The army did not have to fight. We often sing that chorus, don't we? The battle belongs to the Lord. We've sang again today. It's interesting the victory that was won, though. The men of Judah cheerfully divided all the spoils that had been abandoned. There's an abundance. You know, it took them 3 days to collect all the spoils from the enemy. Such a vast enemy they were fighting. So they fled and killed each other. All the stuff that was left, it took the men of Judah and Jerusalem 3 days to pick it all up and store it away for another day. Amazing, isn't it? They still had to leave some behind. Incredible. The victory was celebrated with a huge thanksgiving to God. They kept praising and thanking God all day long. We've been praising, I don't know, a lot, 20 minutes, half an hour. They did it all day long, thanking and praising God for his deliverance and his just being God and winning the victory for them, thanking him and praising him. Again, I think it's such an important lesson for us to learn today too. We praise to God for help quite often. When he answers our prayers and everything happens, how many times do we go back and actually thank and praise God for what he's done? I know we do occasionally, but I think we need to keep shorter accounts with the Lord. So when we see him at work, when we have a victory, we need to be quick to go to that place of praise and thanksgiving. On the fourth day, all the people assembled in a valley. And they blessed God with so much zeal, and they were so fervent, that the valley got named the Valley of Blessing. Wouldn't it be great if this church was called the Church or the Chapel of Blessing? Because God just blessed everybody here so much. What a witness to the town that would be, wouldn't it? Fantastic. God blessed them. He delivered them from a very real defeat and death itself. You think that was enough, wasn't it? Spending all that time celebrating and dancing and praising God in the valley. But then they all came to Jerusalem. They came in a very solemn procession with Jehoshaphat at the head. Why did they do that? They did it so that everybody in the city could join in the celebrations, praising and thanking God. There they go again. They're at it. They're praising and thanking God. The army didn't just go back to their homes. They came back in procession so that the whole city could actually join in the praise and the worship and give God thanks for what he had done. Fantastic. The result of this was a spreading of reverence to God. All the neighbors suddenly realized that God was real, had a tremendous impact on the people who lived around Jerusalem, because they had seen this great victory that God had done for Jehoshaphat and the people. The other result was for Israel, they actually gave them a nice, quiet, and comfortable home for quite a long time. It's amazing how God works, isn't it? God had given them rest. So what can we learn from all of this? Well, one thing for me stands out. It's the importance of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. When we face troubles, we pray to God, don't we? We do it up here quite regularly in the healing prayer room, the pastoral care. We pray to God. How often do we actually break into praise and worship? I found it a real challenge when I was preparing this passage. I thought, how rarely, when I'm thanking God or praying to God, I actually go into praise and worship to him. I think it's a real challenge for the church as a whole. We need to do that. We have so much to thank God for, and yet I think we take so much for granted. Just look around the world. Look at so many countries, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, wherever you want to look. We have so much to thank God here in this place. We have peace. We're free together to worship God here. We don't have to worry about men at the door with guns like they had in Bogota. We don't have to worry about that. We can come and worship God. And so often we take it for granted. I do. I speak for myself, if not for you. So often I take it for granted. So easy to do that. But the Bible here reminds us that God inhabits the praises of his people. You want God's presence? Praise him. He's promised that when we praise him, he'll be there. I'm aware that many folk come into church today for a bit of peace and quiet, to get away from the rush and busyness and whirl of the day. But if we are having problems or difficulties, we ought to be looking to God in that situation before asking him. Spend some time in praise and thanksgiving. Lift up his name. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Then stand back and see what he will do. That's what this army did. They praised God, then stood back and watched him defeat the enemy. We have a very real enemy. The devil hates us worshipping God. He hates us meeting together here, praying. He hates us if you get down on your knees and pray to God. We are in a battle. And how do we win that battle? With praise and prayer and thanksgiving. We need to be very secure in that. It's not saying we just play it, oh, it's Sunday, we'll do a bit of praying today. It should be about our everyday lives, because every day we're under attack from one area or another. Things we see, things we hear, things people say, people complaining about us, whatever. We need to be in that place where we're walking with God, where thanksgiving and prayer and praise are close to our lips and our minds. And if things are very difficult, spend more time praising him, more time worshipping him. Some folk I know here complain in the church about how much time we spend singing and praising God. I've heard it quite a few times. I've been about quite a few years now. But it's come up, seems to come up and go down and come up and go down. The Bible implores us to do just that. You've got this wonderful example here in 2 Chronicles. Look what it's, go back to the Psalms, Psalm 150. David again. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness. If you don't know what to thank God for, turn to the Psalms. Read the book of Psalms. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. I long for the day we have a trumpet here. Mark, can't you play the trumpet? No? No, shame, right?
There is someone there.
Is there? That's what it says here. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with a harp and the lyre. I suppose we'll settle for the keyboard for that, will we? Praise him with a tambourine and dancing. The challenge. Praise him with the strings and the flute. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Here we are, Mark. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Says it all, doesn't it? It's a wonderful psalm of praise and spiritual worship. And the other thing is, because that those singers, they went out with God's blessing and the blessing of the people round about. It is so important, too, that the folk we have here lead us in the worship week by week, and it's different groups all the time, as you know, throughout the month. How important it is for us as Christians here in this community to pray for them. Because one thing the devil wants to do is to stop them praising God. He wants Dennis and I to stop leading people in prayer. They need spiritual protection. And the younger they are, the more they need it. We need to give them and pray for them spiritual protection. We did that today before we came down here this evening. Because at the front edge of the battle, The devil can stop us praising God and praying God and thanks, giving him thanks. He's won a victory. We as a people will be depressed, I think. We need people to lead us in praise, lead us in prayer, lead us in thanksgiving. So I urge you to come week on week. Do pray for whoever's leading, whether it's this group or next group, whatever. They need that spiritual protection that the Holy Spirit can give us. So do pray for them. I thank God for them. I was thinking about our prayer room, actually. I was wondering we ought to rename it Praise and Prayer Room, or Praise and Thanksgiving Room, not just prayer. Because I think when it's finished and built, it'd be a good place to, if just a few of us together, where you could praise God. There's things going on in here and there all the time. And I think God wants to give us a wake-up call today to praise him more. I speak to myself, if not to you. I do not spend a lot of time praising God, and I think I should. And he's really spoken to me this week as I've been looking at this. I spend so little time praising God. So I pray that he's going to speak to each one of you here today, to the whole church, not just to you here. We do spend more time in active prayer, active praise, and acting giving thanks. Because I believe that's what the Bible tells us to do. If we want victory in Christ, we have to turn to him, we have to pray to him and thank him and glorify his name. It's so important. I'm going to finish actually by reading that psalm again, because I think it does speak so much to what we're about here in the church. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen.